You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Folks, we recorded this episode just before James Comey's indictment was thrown out by the court. We don't think the story is over yet because the Trump administration is already saying they're going to try to find some other way to indict him again because their persecution program cannot proceed without Jim Comey being one of their chief targets. Delighted to have Andrew Weissman on the show today. He is so smart about the legal backstory here. And even though this case has now been dismissed, I think you'll find a lot of value in Andrew's tremendous wisdom about how DOJ does now operate and should. Thanks, folks. See you soon.
Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened.
There is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America.
Good night and good luck.
Hey, folks. Welcome back to the Lincoln Project Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Rick Wilson. I'm delighted to be joined today by the brilliant legal mind of Andrew Weissman. We are going to talk through the abuse of power that is happening in Washington at a greater scale and a faster tempo than I think any of us could have possibly imagined in a system where the rule of law meant something. So, Andrew, thank you for coming on today, my friend. I appreciate it.
Rick, what are we going to talk about?
I don't know. There's just so few things. I mean, the Supreme Court in the tariff discussions last week came across as more united amongst each other and more skeptical than anything I've ever seen. So I think we'll start there. Then I want to jump to the Keystone Cops persecution of Trump's enemies. Donald Trump has used this emergency declaration to seize a congressional power, which is to set taxes and tariffs. Were you shocked by how the court seemed? This seemed to be, to me, the most unified they'd ever been on any issue that I've heard in the last couple of years.
Well, let's remember that with the Abrego-Garcia case, they did actually say twice, 9-0, that due process was violated.
The man mistakenly deported to El Salvador is now getting help from the Supreme Court. The justices said the Trump administration must facilitate the return of Kilmer Abrego-Garcia. He had a court-ordered protective status preventing his removal. In a court filing, the government admitted it mistakenly deported him due to an administrative error. Sonia Sotomayor wrote, quote, "To this day, the government has cited no basis in law for Abrego-Garcia's warrantless arrest, his removal to El Salvador, or his confinement in a Salvadorian prison, nor could it."
That is pretty remarkable when you think about it. That means Alito.
Right.
And Thomas and Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, who are sort of four votes that pretty much stand together.
Yeah.
So, but then, that sort of, you have to remember, that was sort of the beginning. And then there's been a slew of things that where you're absolutely right, where it's just very, very divided. I was surprised, but because, you know, there's this shamelessness to some of what they do where you're just thinking, oh, well, that's totally inconsistent with originalism.
Right.
And that seems to be like, you know, it's like, you know, it's like talking to the air. I mean, they just are like, you know, who cares? We're still going to do it. And Justice Alito has a way of just being like, it's originalism until it's not convenient for me. So I was surprised at Justice Gorsuch being seemingly very much focused on congressional power. And this was, you know, remember, this is all about a congressional statute. We're not talking about sort of the president in his sort of, you know, Article 1 versus Article 2 power. We're dealing with something that is congressional power. And the only reason the president gets to act is because of a statute. That's one of the reasons why when at some point of the argument, just to be a nerd, they were like, but are you saying that the president couldn't do this? And it's like, what are you talking about? The president can go to Congress and ask them.
Sure.
When you're dealing with a congressional power, that is the way it works.
It's black letter congressional power. There's no like disputation about. And that was what sort of stunned me is they've had this incredibly expansive view of executive power. And there seemed to be a little crack of daylight there on some skepticism about the nature of the emergency. And I think they called the Solicitor General's BS a little bit on him trying to say that this wasn't a tax.
Yes, absolutely. And they sort of pressed that a lot, saying, yeah. Walk me through how that works.
Help me understand. You know, it's like,
let me ask you about the premise of your argument, which you sort of started at the beginning saying that one would expect for Congress to give the president a broad leeway in this kind of foreign affairs context. And I guess I'm wondering whether you also don't have to contend with the actual purpose of IEPA in making this argument, because as I understand it, that the IEPA was designed and intended to limit presidential authority, that Congress was concerned about how presidents had been using the authority under the predecessor statute, TWIA, and it's pretty clear that Congress was trying to constrain the emergency powers of the president in IEPA. So it seems a little inconsistent to say that we have to interpret a statute that was designed to constrain presidential authority, consistent with an understanding that Congress wanted the president to have essentially unlimited authority.
I disagree with that, because what Congress actually did as—
What part do you disagree with? I'm sorry.
Well, I disagree with the notion that they were trying to constrain the breadth of the actions the president may take when it comes to this particularly narrow domain, which is, you know, various regulations of transactions.
But how can you disagree with that? I mean, the history is what it is.
Because they made a series of changes to IEPA
that
relate to the triggering conditions, so to speak, and the procedures that apply, but they did not change the language.
Right, but what was the intent of Congress in changing the language? Wasn't it to constrain presidential authority in this area?
To constrain it in the triggering conditions and the procedures that apply in this
triggering conditions and procedures that apply are a means to constrain. That is how they went around about constraining. But my point is that Congress enacted this legislation with the intent of preventing the president from having unlimited powers in this area. And you're asking us to now interpret that statute consistent with an understanding that Congress wanted to allow the president to do pretty much whatever he wanted in this area.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
And there was sort of this, there was a sense of like, you know what, we're not going to blink at reality. So that was fine. But, you know, we'll see where they go. I mean, there are two things that are up there now that are interesting. The Snap case, which may become mooted out. But that's one where, you know, I'm going to actually take the Rick Wilson view of the world here, because I view that case not so much as, you know, I'm a legal analyst, but that's one where it's very hard for me to put my legal hat on and be like, the administration has decided as a policy matter that they're not going to feed people.
Right.
And the statistics are astounding.
Mortifying.
One out of eight Americans get benefits. What does it say about a country that thinks of itself as the richest country in the world, that one out of eight of us needs to have food assistance? That's the problem. And that's the thing that needs to be fought. This is where you actually are thinking you need President Johnson back in terms of the war on poverty.
Yeah, and as heartless as I think some people believe this court to be, I do also think there is a sensitivity to the capriciousness of the cruelty on this case, on the Snap case. And I've always, you know, I've watched the court lose with the football for 11 months like everybody else has.
Perfect and
wondering
perfect
when
analogy.
They're going to say, why, yes, there is a boundary to presidential power. Why, yes, there is an upper limit to presidential power. That would seem to be one that would send a real message. I also think this week they sent a message by declining to take up the gay marriage case.
The Supreme Court has declined to revisit its landmark 2015 ruling that legalized same-sex marriage nationwide, leaving the decade-old decision intact. The High Court on November 10th rejected an appeal from former Kentucky County Clerk Kim Davis, who drew international attention for refusing to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples. Davis had asked the court to overturn Obergefell versus Hodges, arguing that her religious beliefs should protect her from paying damages to couples she denied licenses after the 2015 ruling. As per CNN, lower courts had previously ordered her to pay more than $360,000 in damages and legal fees. The Supreme Court declined to hear her appeal without explanation, a decision that offered reassurance to LGBTQ plus advocates who feared that the court's conservative majority might reconsider the landmark ruling. As USA Today notes, the justices' refusal to take up the case leaves Obergefell untouched, safeguarding the nationwide right to same-sex marriage that millions of Americans rely on to legally recognize their families.
And I'm wondering about your take on that, because this was something the court, you know, decided just recently in court timeframes. And I'm curious why you think they declined this particular case.
So I am very, very cynical on these issues about what they take and what they don't take. Now, it is true, they are going to have their fill of controversial cases. But, you know, this reminds me of, they kicked the can down the road on Mifepristone before the presidential election. And, you know, that just seemed like a very political decision to me. And that was like, you know, we're going to give you bad news, but we're going to do it at a time where it's going to have not have those political ramifications.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores. You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Remember, Justice Thomas has basically said that he doesn't believe in substantive due process, and he's given up the ghost on all of these rights, saying that this all needs to be rolled back. And you know, obviously Dobbs was, you know, everyone knows where the court went with that, but it's like the issue is whether that's step one.
The 14th Amendment says that no state can deprive a person of life, liberty, or property without due process of the law. Now, a constitutional expert told me there are two strands of thought when it comes to this amendment. The first, that it guarantees the right to liberty, period. The second, where Thomas resides, is that it only guarantees due process before that right is taken away. Justice Clarence Thomas wrote a concurring opinion.
A concurrence is when a justice writes separately because he has something separate to say. And so Justice Thomas wrote separately and said, I'll go along with this decision, but I would go further.
Thomas argued the due process clause under the 14th Amendment does not secure a right to an abortion or any other substantive rights, and said the Supreme Court should apply that reasoning to other landmark cases, like the one that allowed for same-sex marriage or the right to contraception. The rights under the 14th Amendment go beyond that, though.
The right to rear your children, to choose where they go to school, the right to not be sterilized.
McGeorge School of Law professor Leslie Gilo Jacobs wants to make it clear.
No one else joined Justice Thomas's concurrence. And in order to have a change in the law happen, we have to count to five because that's a majority.
But that doesn't mean other justices won't join him if the right case arises.
It's very interesting to me that is the one part of Project 2025 that has not yet been overtly implemented.
Right.
There are lots of ways in which, and my friends who are in this space say, Andrew, don't let them fool you. There's lots going on, but they haven't taken a direct sort of court action to say that we really want to roll back as much as we can in the way that Project 2025 did. For instance, making it illegal to send certain things through the mails,
right,
to prosecute people for that. Now, there are sort of rumblings, and there is things in the work, but I sort of, this is a long way of saying that I'm very, very cynical about they're not taking the gay marriage case as like, oh, yeah, this is one liberal court that's, you know, that's that decision is, you know, set in stone. You know, I think that everything with this particular Supreme Court is on the table, and people cannot be taking
you can't take your eye off the ball.
The fact that they didn't take it now, people should not be. Yes, it is not being attacked right now, but that is like, do not take that as that, you know, to use your Lucy in football analogy, it's like, don't be fooled. Right, you know, don't try and kick the ball again.
So I want to talk a little bit about the sort of ham-fisted approach that Trump has taken to the persecution of his political enemies. And while the Department of Justice is a terrifying edifice, where the minute the phone rings with the Department of Justice, your only other call is to your attorney. But Lindsey Halligan so far has turned out to be an enormous clown show in going after Trump's political enemies. And down in Miami, it appears to be a similarly building clown show of sort of trying to prosecutor shop to find people who will go after Trump's enemies.
And judge shop.
And judge shop, yes. Right. Yes.
Because let's remember that the bringing something in Florida where you're going, okay, let me just understand. You're opening a case on John Brennan for either something he said when he testified in Congress, right, which would mean D.C., not Florida.
And where the alleged action took place.
Right, exactly. Or it's something he did while he was head of the CIA,
right,
which, guess what, is Langley. That's, again, it's up, you know, up north. And so, you know, I've made this comment, which is I was reading the Carol Lennig and Aaron Davis book where they talk about Jack Smith deciding with some people in his team being very against it, saying, we're going to bring the Mar-a-Lago case in Mar-a-Lago. We're bringing it in Florida because that's where the crime happened. We're not going to play games. We're not going to try and squeeze this into D.C. And compare that, the person who is supposedly sort of weaponizing and accused of all these sort of being overly aggressive is bringing the case where it should be. And I agree with him, and it should be there. I've been on high profile matters where I worked on Enron a million years ago, and it was going to be brought in Enron. I worked on the Mueller investigation. It was going to be brought in DC. Those are where things happened. And compare that to, really, you're going to start looking at John Brennan in what, before Judge Cannon, because there's so much that John Brennan did in Fort Pierce.
In Fort Pierce, Florida.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook, you know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
That idea of Trump has he sent his what was supposed to be a DM on Truth Social to Pam Bondi, and suddenly all things start to roll.
Yeah. Well, it's overt. I mean, this is one where
right. There's
not a lot of guesswork. You know, I mean, this is something that James Comey has said in his motion for selective and vindictive prosecution. He's like, this is not one where you have to sort of piece together the data points. It's like it's in black
and
white.
Here it is. This is what he said. In the Comey case, I mean, Halligan has been a train wreck on that. From even a non-lawyer like me can read between the lines here. She has no experience in as a prosecutor. She has no experience in the correct, even the filings seem to be messed up. Do you think that if this case falls apart, does the judge have the power to just say, this is selective prosecution, get the fuck out?
So the answer to that is yes. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you two things that I am watching for in addition to the selective vindictive prosecution and whether Halligan was improperly appointed. The two things that I'm watching for are going to learn what she actually said to the grand jurors.
In an extraordinary concession in court yesterday, prosecutors in the federal case against former FBI Director James Comey admitted the final indictment against him was never presented to the full grand jury. Interim U.S. Attorney Lindsey Halligan, who has no prior prosecutorial experience, initially presented a 3-count indictment, but the jury rejected one of those counts, Justice Department lawyers said yesterday. Then, rather than drafting and presenting a new 2-count indictment, Halligan printed a new version without presenting it and admitted only the foreperson and another grand juror were present for signing it. The judge appeared skeptical of the government's arguments throughout this hearing and went on to question prosecutors on whether the indictment was retaliation by President Trump. The judge also questioned Halligan herself, calling her a possible puppet for the president. Comey's attorney went on to argue the judge should throw out the case entirely, saying Trump used DOJ to, quote, punish a perceived political enemy.
As somebody who was a prosecutor for 20 years, like, you do not go into the grand jury for the first time without a senior person next to you who has trained you about what you can say and what you cannot say.
Right.
And the reporting is that she went in alone, and she's an insurance lawyer. It is almost inconceivable to me that she didn't say something improper. Let me give you an example. There's a very defined window that is charged with respect to what Comey did or didn't do in terms of time frame. And if you look at the government's brief, they talk about all sorts of things that happened before the critical time period and after the critical time period, but almost nothing during the actual time period of the alleged false statement. And I am really curious what Lindsey Halligan told the grand jurors with what they could consider and what they couldn't consider. So I think there's a real issue about what the grand jury actually voted on, which could also tank the case. And the second issue, which was flagged in some of the pretrial hearings, is whether the government here has bathed itself and exposed itself to what's called attorney-client privilege. In other words, that they read and accessed emails and other texts and documents between James Comey and his lawyers. That is not just a no-no. That is, you can't dial that back. One of the ways you deal with that, which I dealt with all the time as a prosecutor, is that before you look at something, you have what's called a taint team.
Right.
And so when we did the Paul Manafort search, mm-hmm. court-ordered search, the team that did that was a taint team. They were not on the Mueller investigation. They reviewed the documents. They met with the defense counsel. They sanitized everything that we could see and could not see so that we wouldn't violate his attorney-client privilege and we would protect our investigation. It appears, by all accounts so far, that none of that happened here.
My God. So I guess my question would be, why hasn't the judge already said, this is so sweepingly inappropriate and so much impropriety exists in this persecution that you get out. I mean, I just wonder, like,
great question.
Is there a timing? Is there a timing question here?
So great question, because you know this from all the Trump cases, which is welcome to the law, which is it's not fast,
right?
Other than as were marked by, I think it's Ketanji Brown Jackson or Sotomayor, who said that the administration seems to have the Supreme Court on speed dial. But
right.
Other than that, the motion that James Comey made is now fully briefed, but it takes a while. He was given time to put in his papers, the government put in its response, and then the reply brief was just submitted, I believe, yesterday. I read it. It's terrific. But now it's fully briefed. So now the judge has all of the papers from both sides, and he can make a ruling. My suspicion is that he is going to say that James Comey has met the threshold to get discovery on what this issue is. Mm-hmm. It protects the judge from an appeal because it says, let's get more evidence. But it also puts the government in a really hard position because the discovery is essentially, tell me all of the communications with the White House pressuring you to do this. Tell me all of the internal documentation in the Eastern District of Virginia of career people and even the former U.S. attorney, a Trump appointee, who was pressured and said, no, I'm not going forward. So that kind of discovery could be incredibly embarrassing to the government here, and it could help bolster the James Comey case. And I suspect that issue, if there is discovery ordered, that is an issue that you're going to see a lot of fighting over what gets turned over and what does not.
It strikes me that Halligan, I saw a little bit of reporting on this, that Halligan, that even Bondi has not been read on some of the stuff that Halligan has been doing, which I find really shocking, but not shocking at the end of the day. I mean, is she reporting directly to the White House?
Doesn't it tell you, to me, what I found interesting about that is the idea that somebody wanted to leak that out. In other words, it's like that to me, I mean, this is conjecture on my part. It read like somebody in Pam Bondi's office, if not Pam Bondi herself, going, don't tag me with that stuff. Like,
right.
I did not know that. Whatever's happening there, it's not on me.
That really struck me, Andrew, because I know who Bondi's people are. I've known Bondi for 25 years from Florida stuff. She's not a genius, but she has a self-preservation instinct that is pretty strongly developed. And I think they managed to pass even a level where she can't meekly sit back and go, I'm going to get disbarred later for this. No, thank you. Because it really did. That really, to me, was a very interesting internal fissure you saw.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
You know, you and I have talked about the DOJ before and how its sort of character is being warped at the top. There must still be line attorneys, line prosecutors inside that building who are not going to put themselves into this morally and legally compromised position.
Well, I want to just stick up for a moment for the Eastern District of Virginia career people. Mm-hmm. I know some people are like, oh, gee, why are they not all quitting? They have voted here. Like, if we're not hearing what they're saying, it's because we're not paying attention. There is no Eastern District of Virginia person on this case.
Right.
They had to get two people from a different office to do the case.
Didn't they get a guy from Tennessee or something to join the case?
I think it's North Carolina or something. But yes, as a New Yorker, I was going to say same difference, but it's not. Because, you know, I've learned not to do that, although not entirely. So the Eastern District of Virginia, those are examples of people who are saying, I'm not doing it. I took an oath of office.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that, by the way, I do think it is important and worth contrasting that with the John Bolton case, because in the John Bolton case, career people signed that. Career people, both in Maryland and at Main Justice in Washington, signed off of that. It doesn't mean it's meritorious. These are just allegations. But career people were willing to put their name on it. That is not true with respect to the Comey indictment.
Yeah, that strikes me. I mean, the Bolton case, and a long history with John, but the Bolton case really did seem to be possibly tied into more actual, potentially criminal activity in the handling of classified than anybody else who's been sort of visible so far in this equation.
Yeah, look, you could read that indictment, and it was a detailed indictment, and you could understand, if proved, exactly why this case was brought. And you understood that other people who had done something similar had been charged. With the Comey case and Letitia James case, you really understood why the sitting U.S. attorney appointed by Donald Trump himself was like, no mas,
like,
I am not doing this. Hard pass.
One of the cases or one of the issues I find fascinating here is, you know, Trump obviously has told Pam Bondi, told the DOJ, and told these new people that are coming in from God knows where to serve in these cases, you know, I want this done. This is my will. You will carry it out. What legal risks are these people putting themselves in by continuing to comply with Trump's orders here?
You know, that's a great question. I think that the most obvious one, if they were to do something that was against the law or there was no factual support, just has to do with their bar ticket, whether they will suffer the consequences that Rudy Giuliani and others, where they lose their license. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but that is a consequence that can happen, and we have seen it happen. The issue, though, of whether they could face criminal liability is one where it's complicated, because one of the effects of the immunity decision, the presidential immunity decision, that we have not yet seen play out, is how much that's going to trickle down and spill over. The argument that's going to be made by underlings is, well, the president's immune, but he has to act through people. And so the people through whom he acts also are entitled to immunity, so long as they're acting within their official capacity.
Ah, that is, I could see that is going to become another test of of, you know, does the president's executive authority, does it have an associative property to people down the line?
Exactly.
I should say, in the civil context, the Supreme Court has done that. It's watered down a little. It's not exactly as when you go down a level, it's not as strong an immunity. But the issue of whether that happens on the criminal side has not been resolved. And I would say, thank God that we have not been in that situation, right, because until the Supreme Court ruled about presidential immunity, nobody in this country thought there was presidential immunity. We'd operated, except maybe Richard Nixon.
Nobody thought that. Right, that the world had no anticipation of godlike powers in the presidency.
This will be referred to from now on as a landmark opinion of the Supreme Court. It's not only important for President Trump's criminal case, they really have set a framework for all future presidents. Donald Trump's defense team puts forward this argument that a former president should be held completely immune from prosecution for any of the acts that they performed while in office.
I feel that as a president, you have to have immunity. Very simple.
The court's very explicit about this. It lays out its framework by saying, quote, the nature of presidential power entitles a former president to absolute immunity from criminal prosecution for actions within his conclusive and preclusive constitutional authority. What the court is saying in this part is quite surprising. They're basically saying that nothing he does in terms of pressuring the Justice Department to investigate whoever he wants to investigate as president can ever be subject to criminal liability.
There's a longer list of other people that he's going to go after, and that he's going to send these other people after. I wonder if you think that there is, if there's a sufficient volume of prosecutors he can find while he goes and shops for these, you know, places that will bring these charges, and a sufficient number of line attorneys to carry these cases forward, or if it's going to fall apart.
So, you know, I don't think it'll be a question of, I think he'll find enough people. I don't know how much he'll find really qualified people. And, you know, we can just look at what's happening with the James Comey case. And, you know, I think that's going to be the canary in the coal mine. And, you know, I think there's a really good chance that case is going to implode.
This is big. We have learned that the Justice Department's case against former FBI Director Jim Comey and the New York Attorney General have both been dismissed.
Well, they both are being dismissed, and for essentially the same reason that Lindsey Halligan, the Eastern District of Virginia interim U.S. attorney sent there by Donald Trump, not Senate confirmed, that she doesn't have the power. What the judge here has found, this is Judge Cameron Curry from South Carolina. She came into the district, heard arguments from both of the lawyers on these cases against Lindsey Halligan's role. They argued that she didn't have the power because she wasn't Senate confirmed, and thus these indictments are invalid. The judge is agreeing with that. Judge Curry is saying that the attorney general's attempt to install Ms. Halligan as interim U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia was invalid. And because Ms. Halligan had no lawful authority to present the indictment, James Comey's motion is granted. The indictment is dismissed.
At that point, obviously, Donald Trump will say it's not my fault. It's the judge. It's, you know, the jury, whatever. He'll blame somebody else for it. But, you know, that's one where it reminds me of the executive orders with respect to the law firms. There were four of those issued. All four of them were struck down by a variety of judges, not activist judges. I mean, unless you think like a judge appointed by Reagan and Bush are activist judges.
Those woke Reagan judges.
Exactly. I mean, I was listening to Todd Blanche at the Federal Society talk about these sort of a war on activist judges. And I kept on thinking, really, Karen Emmergut in, you know, on the West Coast, she was appointed by Donald Trump.
Yeah, right.
Judge Wilkinson on the Fourth Circuit is one of the leading conservative voices in legal academia, and he was excoriating the administration about how they treated Abrego Garcia. So these aren't activist judges. These are, so I do think at some point we'll see whether they sort of get the message. I mean, obviously the midterms will really matter in terms of the administration understanding, does it have a mandate or not?
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores. Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
You know, about a month ago, somebody very close to the White House told me he loves to F with people. He loves to mess with people. He loves to cause, you know, this chaos and disruption. These are good distractions for him. And this person said to me, but the one guy he truly hates in this process that he wants more than Comey even is Jack Smith. He feels like Jack Smith was, you know, his nemesis. And my theory of the case to this person was, I said, it's because Jack Smith got the closest to actually getting him on the classified documents case. That had gone forward with a judge who wasn't obviously like looking up the chain. I think that case would have been, because, you know, as a guy, you and I both have been around top secret stuff. And if you and I took top boxes of top secret documents home, we would go to prison and we would never leave.
We'd at least be prosecuted. I mean, you know, I will say, some senior people have gotten very lenient sentences,
yes.
If they pled guilty,
sure.
But they've all been prosecuted. And so that was a very righteous case in terms of bringing it. You know, I did an interview recently of Jack Smith in London.
Right.
And it turned out to be fortuitous.
That was my next question, because you just had a conversation with Jack Smith. I'm curious where you see that inbound prosecution and his very firm position on it.
So here's one thing that I would... so first of all, you do need to find something, right? I mean, like, the James Comey thing is not much of something, but at least there was something to point to. So, like, so far, saying that you want someone to be prosecuted, like, you do need some factual predicate,
right.
Even if it's wrong and trumped up, no pun intended, you need something. So, and Jack Smith is so squeaky clean. And he comes off like a Eagle Scout, and I think he is. You know, you can go to YouTube now, and just because University College London posted the
right.
interview, and, you know, he comes off like exactly what you would expect, which is like a career prosecutor.
Wired
and
tight.
Again, exactly.
Know?
And also, if you go to the reporting by Carol and Adam yeah. mm-hmm. in Justice, over and over again, there are steps that are taken that are not sort of weaponized. The venue issue is a perfect example. He is bringing the case in Fort Pierce, right? He is bringing the case in Florida. He is not bringing the case in D.C., in spite of the fact a senior person on his team is like, are you crazy? And he's like, no, I'm not. I'm bringing it where it's supposed to be brought. Good luck saying that person is, you know, weaponizing.
Yeah, this is in some way corruptly prosecuting the or persecuting the innocent president who just happened to keep a few dozen boxes of highly classified documents.
So question for you, Rick,
sure.
is, you know, so now people can see at least a snippet of him himself and get a sense of him. And the Republicans had sought a voluntary interview, but not a public one.
Right.
And Jack Smith's lawyers said, happy to do it, but it's going to be public if you want him to come. I'm going to be interested to see whether the Republicans give him that forum.
I got to tell you, I think
it's dangerous.
I think there's a 0% chance they let Jack Smith walk into that room with a chapter and verse recitation of the things that are in those filings, of the documents that were there, of the retention practices that were there, of the attempted cover up. That I think Todd Blanche is going to call Donald Trump and he's going to say, boss, if you let Mike Johnson do this, we are putting ourselves in for a world of hurt politically and optically and maybe down the road legally. I think this is a bridge too far. And it's pretty evident. You watch that interview and you know Jack Smith's reputation. James Comer is a 2-watt light bulb compared to the spotlight that is Jack Smith. I don't think they have the intellectual horsepower on that committee or any of the Republican-led committees in the House to invert Jack Smith into the villain here. I think it's real hard for them to get to that point.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why they would risk it because I think he's going to come off extremely well. And to me, I'm not a political analyst, but it's like, to me, it's better to just continue vilifying him, but don't give him a platform. And I thought it was just wonderful for him to speak because
it was a great interview. And you do.
Well, no. Yeah. It's not about the interview and it's not about me. It is that I think it's useful to hear him and so that you can actually make a judgment about him and not a caricature of him.
Right. And, you know, they use the whole like Jack Smith with a big full beard and wearing that European court robe as a sort of like, look, this is a guy from an alien spaceship here to go attack Donald Trump.
From Star Trek. Right.
Right. Exactly. And now, you know, you see this guy who is confident in the propriety of all the steps he took during this case, which is why he doesn't play the role that they want him to play as a patsy in a hearing like that, which is why I think that's a low probability. And I also think if it gets to court, I don't think Jack Smith is going to be a guy who's going to, you know, walk in the door like some dewy-eyed schoolgirl and like panic over their assertions.
So let me just focus on that for a second. If you think about the cases that have been brought, Letitia James, right. James Comey, even John Bolton, although Bolton's different. Yeah. But all three are not about the Mar-a-Lago classified documents case. They're not about January 6th.
Right.
They're not, those are to you have to, if you notice, they're finding stuff that's like marginal, off to the side, which doesn't open the door, they think, to Donald Trump's wrongdoing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to indict people for things involving investigations of Donald Trump wrongdoing, you open the door to the trials that Donald Trump spent years trying to avoid.
Yep. I think that's exactly
right. So
when
he said, I think we should indict Liz Cheney, I'm sure she's not thinking, oh, great, I can't wait for that to happen. But I thought that's never going to happen because really, you want to have a trial on
you
want to
open up all
case?
That January 6th material they didn't release? Sure, Donald, let's do that. That's an exciting trip down memory lane. Well, Andrew Weissman, I appreciate you as always, my friend. This is an ongoing through line, I think, of this administration that we have to keep our eyes on in the coming months, because this abuse of judicial power is, they projected it for years and now they're the ones involved in this weaponization and this abuse of power. So Andrew Weissman, thank you so much for coming on the Lincoln Project podcast as always.
Thank you so much.
The Lincoln Project Podcast is a Lincoln Project production. Executive produced by Whitney Hayes, Ben Howe, and Joey Wartner-Cheney. Edited by Riley Main. Hey, folks, if you want to support the Lincoln Project's work against Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and this MAGA craziness, go to action.lincolnproject.us/helplp. If you'd like to get in touch or have suggestions for a guest or a show topic, or just want to say hi, our email is podcast@lincolnproject.us. For our MAGA friends, please, no more nudes. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you again next time.
Good night, and good luck.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.